prepare to broadcast worldwide.
You've discovered TalkZone.com.
TalkZone.com.
Italy has fascinating culture, beautiful scenery, amazing history, and warm, friendly people. Nobody knows Italy better than the host of How to Tour Italy. Here's Anthony Capozzoli on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the How to Tour Italy show, and I am very excited to be talking this segment about my book. I know it might sound a little hubristic, but I thought it would be kind of a fun segment because I'm going to be talking about this because when I'm over there in Italy doing the How to Tour Italy project, I will be doing lots of research for my upcoming book, Una Bella Vista Rome, or rather, Una Bella Vista Florence and Siena, which I'm excited about. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Una Bella Vista Rome and how it's built and what content it has and how it's organized to kind of help you along the way while you're visiting Rome. It is a beautiful city, and I think Rome is one of those places that you can either wander around aimlessly, which is great to do, and something that people often do, but I also think in order to get the most out of it, it's important to have a little bit of rhyme and reason behind what it is you're doing, and a bit of a walking itinerary to follow. So, Una Bella Vista Rome, I wrote into different itineraries. There are seven sections, if you will. The first itinerary is the cover section, and in it I talk a little bit about the food and wine of Rome and the region, and I give one or two restaurant recommendations and some dining tips so that when you're there, you can kind of live life as you will, as a Roman and or an Italian. And there are some things that people need to know, mainly about what, I guess, dishes to order and what to expect when dining. As opposed to giving you restaurant-specific recommendations in the book, I leave that to the website because that stuff changes so much, and I think it's better to be fluid that way than printed in a guidebook that is almost out of date before it gets, you know, put on the bookshelves. I'm not saying anything disparaging about books that do have restaurant recommendations, but I think there's better avenues these days with the internet to produce and promote that information. So in my book, I just specifically mentioned a couple of, I think, wonderful dishes that people shouldn't pass up. It's an appetizer, an antipasti. It's called fiori di zucca fritti, which is deep-fried zucchini flowers. It is something that you shouldn't pass up. It is delicious. In the dining tips page, I talk a little bit about, you know, service is slower in Italy because dining is an event and not an interruption in a daily task. They sit down and enjoy their coffee, or they'd rather standing up, but you don't have to-go cups like we do here at Starbucks to just take your coffee and off you go. You sit and enjoy your coffee. And the same is true of your snacks. You sit down and take a moment and enjoy your food, whether it's lunch or dinner, or a little bit of a snack later in the evening. So the reason I don't put that information, specific restaurant tips and information on the book is because I want to be fluid and up to date and current because things change. And I want to, you know, give people an opportunity to, have the most up to date information, which you can find on my websites. Now, the other segments that I have, are ancient Rome, the Vatican, the Borghese, Navona Pantheon, Barberini, Vincoli and Trastevere, and I organize them into succinct walking tours. So you start at site number one in the Navona Pantheon segment, or walking tour. And as you walk and follow, the map, you will be led to the very next site. And as you go, when you turn the pages, the sites just, you walk essentially right up into them without having to look for them or wonder where they're at. It's, the book is organized so that as you walk through and enjoy Rome, you stumble onto, as if you will, for example, starting out in Campo di Fiori, you will end up at Gesù. It's a Jesuit church in Rome. And as you walk and follow through with my itineraries, there are full color pictures with all the details that you would need about Rome and what you're seeing, in sequential order. And that's the way the entire book is organized in full color with color tabs to find, whatever section that you are interested in. The book is small. It's not very big. It's a couple hundred pages, and it's built to be thrown in your backpack or dropped into your pocket so that it's easy to tote around. Now, along with that, I recorded an audio tour. And I'm going to play a segment of that in a moment here. That is meant so that you can listen to me tell you about the sites as you're walking and enjoying them without having to keep your nose in a book. And you can use this audio tour as you go through either the streets of Rome or the museums that I cover without having, so you can enjoy and soak in the wonderful site and how great it is. Now, I'm going to be playing in a second here, the piece for the glorification of St. Ignatius. And this is the actual segment from my audio tour. It's set to music of the age. And at the end of it, there is music built to inspire you to understand what it was to go to church in Rome during the Baroque era. And with that, I'm going to play this segment. I'm going to come back to you in a moment and talk through the rest of the book. Glorification of St. Ignatius by Fra Andrea Pozzo at St. Ignazio. One of the most beautiful ceilings in Rome, Fra Andrea Pozzo, created his masterpiece in St. Ignatius from 1691 to 1694. It is one of the finest illustrations on the use of perspective in the world. As you gaze at the work, you feel as if you are being lifted into heaven. Like the ceiling at Gesù, the work is created using the architecture of the church. Where the wall and ceiling meet, so begins the painting. It appears as if God peeled off the roof to give the faithful churchgoers a glimpse of heaven. St. Ignazio is of the Jesuit order and was decorated during the Counter-Reformation in the Baroque style. Fra Andrea Pozzo was so proficient at the use of perspective, he wrote a treatise on the subject. Using his expertise, he left nothing to chance. He placed a disc in the nave floor to mark the exact spot one should stand to enjoy the entire work and the illusion created through his perspective. As you stand in the mark on the floor, you are simultaneously on earth and in heaven. As paradise mingles with the terrestrial plane, you view St. Ignatius being carried into heaven as Christ awaits. The four corners of the world are included: America, Europe, Asia, and Africa. Baroque art is meant to touch you visually, spiritually, and emotionally. It is theatrical in its delivery. Combining sculpture, architecture, and painting with the sound of music, a harmony is created that provides a sensory overload. Baroque churches were built with acoustics in mind to utilize sound and art to bring the faithful that much closer to God. Take time to view the individuals that combine to make this ceiling beautiful. The cross, Jesus, the angels, the golden shine of heaven, the amazing colors of the togas, the white of the angels' wings, the painted columns that look as if they truly continue into heaven from the church. In its busyness, you will find a calming effect. In its openness, you will feel as if you are being escorted into heaven by an angel yourself. I have added a track of music to the end of this audio component. It will allow you to hear the music, view the work, and for a moment, appreciate the masterpiece as Pozzo intended. Move to the disc on the floor and prepare to be escorted into heaven. So I think you get the general idea. Rather than play the entire Baroque song, I thought I would kind of continue on with describing what else is contained in the book. And I hope you enjoyed that. I mean, that is an actual piece from the audio tour that is free when you buy the guidebook, the written guidebook. The written guidebook is full color with maps of the streets, how to get from site to site, and how to find all of the things that I cover, all the sites that I cover within the museums themselves. How to find a particular nave to enjoy a particular Caravaggio, how to get to the Belvedere Courtyard and the Vatican Museums, how to take advantage of making reservations, and little things that you might need to optimize your time there. I can't cover everything because, in all seriousness, going to Rome could be a lifetime's trip. So what I thought were the most inspiring or the most beautiful or the most important works to see, along with a few hidden gems along the way. And I try to cover things a little bit differently, giving what I think is a different perspective on this particular works. Now, for example, many guidebooks that I've read and enjoyed give very little attention to the detail of the Sistine Chapel. They cover it, but they don't talk about the saga and the painstaking history behind it and how Michelangelo didn't want to do it. They don't talk a little bit like when we're talking about San Pietro and Vincoli and his Moses, Michelangelo's Moses. They don't talk about the struggle that he had his entire life trying to create the tomb of Julius II. When I also cover in the book the Raphael rooms and the School of Athens, which is one of my all-time favorite paintings, frescoes, I have each of the people in the painting numbered and identified by name so you know who they are and who you're looking at, which I think adds to the power of the particular fresco. And I've never seen another guidebook do that. I'm not bragging, but I don't know why they don't do that kind of stuff, because I think it makes all the difference in the world so that you look at this and can understand which of these people in this image are Aristotle and or Plato, and where Raphael himself is looking at you from the bottom right corner. He's the only person in the entire painting or fresco that's making direct eye contact with the viewer, and he's in the lower bottom right corner. And there are so many other things. Socrates is in there. Alcibiades is in the image. Lots of wonderful people. So it's a piece that I'm particularly proud of. And along with the maps, I kind of identify what else you can see and do and enjoy. And it's built, like I said, in sequential walking order. Because I think when you're traveling to Italy, you have to, be prepared. You have to know what you want to see. You have to have your itineraries and things built. But you should also leave time to kind of wander around and enjoy things that you weren't expecting to enjoy. Now, any guidebook that you take, I think you should take more than one. Buy mine, I hope you would. But if you don't, be sure to buy a couple of guidebooks. I think buying just one, whoever they might be, whatever guidebook they are, you're doing yourself a disservice. I think buying two or three guidebooks is critically important because you have, keep in mind, you have a long flight, you'll have a few weeks or months to sit down and read these books before you head over, and you have to read them page by page, but be sure to go through and skim through the information so that you have a base understanding of what you're going to be seeing. And bring your favorite guidebook with you or a couple of them in your backpack. It's not too terribly heavy. And the maps in almost any guidebook are okay. They're not great. They're just okay. When you get to Italy, you can buy or get maps for free from your hotel that are better organized, and they have, you are here, and a little bit more information about how to get around. So I recommend doing those. They're free. They're usually very, very well done. So that's something else you can do. There are other maps out there that are foldable and laminated that fit in your pocket. They're good, but sometimes you might want to see things that aren't particularly covered on the map. Meaning the map stops and you have four blocks to go, so that's something to consider. So always have a couple of maps with you as well. The free ones, like I said, at the hotels are usually wonderful. Now, the other thing, too, be sure to take a card from your hotel or from the villa that you're staying in so that if you get lost and need to get home, you can either hand it to a cab driver or you'll know, looking at the map, what your address is without having to remember, because things will start to look a little bit the same as you walk through Rome, all these beautiful, wonderful fountains and ancient buildings and things. So you have to be able to get back to where you are. So the other thing to do, too, is just remember the largest historical site that you're near, whether that's the Pantheon, Piazza Navona, the Colosseum, the Vatican, so that you have a sense of where to get back to continue your journey. Now, the other thing with the guidebook that I cover, I have information, the maps are all numbered, all of the artwork is, in full color, and like I said, I try to give you some history and detail about the artists themselves and some inspiration so that when you're looking at the artwork, you understand what's going on behind the scenes. And I'm going to ask my producer, we have enough time to maybe one more track. Do you think we can get one queued up here? Just let me know. Let's see here. Let's take a look at the list, and maybe we can go with Disc 2, Track 37, Pauline Bonaparte as Venus Victrix. And this is interesting because this is a statue at the Borghese, one of my favorite museums in the world. And this talks about Pauline Bonaparte as Venus Victrix and who she is. So you get a sense of some of the content that I cover. So we're going to play that here in a moment. And with that, after that, we're going to go right into a break. So we're just getting that queued up here, and I threw a curveball at the producer. That's why we're going through this here on the air live. But what's good is right after this segment, we're going to go into a break, come back with Kathy McCabe and Janice Mancuso. So I'm very excited about that. But hopefully you'll take a look at the guidebook. You can buy my guidebook on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or directly from my website. So I hope that you're able to do so. And with that, we're going to queue that up at Pauline Bonaparte as Venus Victrix at the Borghese.
Antonio Canova. Pauline Bonaparte as Venus Victrix, the Borghese Gallery. This neoclassical sculpture steps out of bounds for such an important woman. She is the sister of Napoleon Bonaparte and posed nude for an artist to sculpt her as Venus Victrix with a victory apple gifted to her by Paris in the Judgment of Paris that set off 10,000 ships and the start of the Trojan War. Pauline is the perfect figure of classical tranquility, nobility, and believes she is a goddess. The story of the Judgment of Paris takes place at the wedding of Peleus and Thetis. Thetis is the immortal mother of the Greek hero Achilles. The god Eris, Strife, arrived at the wedding angry and uninvited. Who wants Strife invited to a wedding? To stir up a little trouble between the hubristic goddesses Hera, Athena, and Venus in attendance, he rolled a golden apple across the floor announcing, "May the most beautiful take it." All three claimed the apple as their own. Since only one could rightfully own the apple and the title of the most beautiful, a mortal was asked to choose the victor. The mortal was named Paris. He was the son of King Priam of Troy and brother to the feared Trojan warrior Hector. One by one, the goddesses undressed for judgment and began to bribe Paris. Hera offered dominion over the world. Athena promised a glorious military career. Venus promised the most beautiful girl in the world would love him. Paris chose Venus. Venus made Helen of Troy, who was the daughter of Zeus and Leda, and the most beautiful woman in the world, fall madly in love with Paris. Paris made a way with Helen to Troy. The Greeks followed to fulfill the oath of Tyndareus. The oath of Tyndareus is the oath the men of Greece took to protect the winner of Helen's choice as a husband. They all agreed that if anything bad should happen to the chosen man, all of the other men of Greece would rally to protect him to prevent any accidents to Helen's new husband. When Paris made off with Helen, the oath was invoked, and Troy fell to the Greeks over the love of a woman and the honor of the Greeks.
So with that, we're going to be going into a break here in a second, but I just wanted to, I thought I'd give you a sense of two different sizes of tracks that I have in the, included in the guidebook and the audio tour. We're going to come back with my friend Kathy McCabe of Dream of Italy, and thanks for listening. Ciao.
If you love travel, imagine visiting one of the world's greatest cities and exploring it as very few ever have. Only Context Travel makes it possible. Context Travel offers in-depth walking seminars for intellectually curious travelers like you. It's your chance to experience a city as a cultural experience unlike any traditional tour. Context Travel is a network of architects, historians, and art historians. They feature small groups of six or less, led by PhD-level scholars, with walks lasting from 3 hours to a full day. You can book a Context tour in seven great cities: New York, Paris, London, Rome, Florence, Venice, Naples, or Istanbul. Context Travel offers concierge services, art and archaeology walks, cuisine walks, shopping walks, and more. Visit us online at contexttravel.com. That's contextravel.com. That's contexttravel.com.